Good morning. This is Lincoln with the Southern Champaign County Today for May 21st, 2025, starting with the article on the front page about 150 years, Mary Todd Lincoln's madness still haunts American psyche. On May 19th, 1875, a Cook County jury handed down a verdict in the case concerning the health and welfare of Mary Lincoln, widow of the former president, who had been assassinated a decade earlier. After listening to only a single day of testimony, the 12 men on the jury signed the standard verdict form, stating simply that they are satisfied that said Mary Lincoln is insane and is a fit person to be sent to a state hospital for the insane. The case had been brought to court by her surviving son, Robert Todd Lincoln, then just 31 years old and a successful practicing attorney in Chicago. At his request, the court ordered her committed to the Bellevue Place Sanitarium in Batavia, west of Chicago, and named him conservator of her estate for a period of 1 year, based on the finding that she was at the time incapable of managing her own affairs. But Mrs. Lincoln would not spend a full year in the facility. With the help of two of her closest and only remaining friends, James and Myra Bradwell of Chicago, and against the strong protests of Robert Lincoln, Mary Lincoln would be released after only 4 months to the custody of her sister in Springfield, Elizabeth Edwards. The subject of Mary Lincoln's mental health has long been the subject of public debate. Was she, in fact, a danger to herself and others, and was her son truly acting in her best interests? Or was Robert Lincoln, as his mother would sometimes allege, scheming to shove her aside in order to take over her money and property? Now, 150 years after her commitment, a newly rediscovered collection of correspondence between Mrs. Lincoln and her friends and family, letters long assumed to have been lost or destroyed, shed new light on the nature of her illness as well as the nature of her relationships with the few friends and family she had left by that time. The dark days of Abraham Lincoln's widow, as revealed by her own letters, edited by Jason Emerson and published by Southern Illinois University Press. People have always wondered if these missing letters, if they showed that, in fact, she was perfectly sane, that her son Robert did actually railroad her, bribe the judge and jury because he wanted to steal her money. Emerson said in a podcast interview with Capital News Illinois. And they do not show that at all. They show that Mary thought that's what was happening, which, in my opinion, and the opinions of psychiatrists I've consulted, that was one of her delusions, that everyone was trying to steal her money, not just Robert. The book was actually first compiled a century ago by Myra Helmer Pritchard, granddaughter of James and Myra Bradwell, and they were scheduled for publication in 1927, first in installments in the magazine Liberty and then as a book. Before the publication, however, Pritchard, as a courtesy, offered to show them to Mary Harlan Lincoln, widow of Robert Lincoln, who had just died the year before, although she was initially agreeable to the project and even offered to add additional information. After reading the manuscript, Mary Harlan Lincoln withdrew her consent and launched a series of legal efforts to suppress their publication. Pritchard eventually agreed to hand over the material and never publish them in any form, in exchange for a payment of $22,500. Emerson's book recompiles that material and presents it as it was intended to be published in 1927, including Pritchard's comments on the letters, but it also includes Emerson's own annotations and footnotes that provide context as well as clarifications and corrections to some of Pritchard's commentaries. The letters reveal her to be lonely, occasionally depressed, and at times desperate for companionship, but on their surface, do not necessarily portray someone of an unsound mind, especially considering the traumas she had endured through much of her life. "Pray for me that I may be able to leave such a place as this," she wrote to Myra Bradwell on August 3, 1875. "Let me see Judge Bradwell. I beg you to come on Friday morning. I should like to see Dr. Everts. I feel I must have some further conversation with him. Write me, your broken, heartbroken friend, frequently, daily, but come to me. Will you kindly bring out some samples of black alpaca, a best quality, without luster and without cotton, also some samples of heavier black woolen goods?" The book is Emerson's second work on the subject of the lost letters, which he uncovered in 2005. He found them locked away in a trunk that had once belonged to one of Robert Lincoln's personal attorneys, Frederick Towers. Using those letters and a wealth of other material, Emerson wrote his first book on the subject, The Madness of Mary Lincoln, in 2007. In that book, Emerson cites a modern psychiatric expert who theorized that Mary Lincoln suffered from what would likely be diagnosed today as bipolar disorder. "And he told me that today Mary would be committed involuntarily for probably about 7 days," he said. "Doctors would look at her, they'd give her medication, and she'd be fine today as long as she took the medication. But back then, they didn't have that," Emerson said. "But if you look at her whole life, it's very clear the incidence of bipolar disorder, or what used to be called manic depressive illness, where she's high and she's low, and she's wonderfully loving and horribly mean, her spending could be considered a manic action. She was depressed a lot. So it's clear throughout her whole life." After her release, Mary Todd Lincoln lived a relatively quiet life, although she remained plagued by both psychiatric and physical ailments. She died in 1882 at the age of 63. She is buried next to her husband at the Lincoln Tomb in Springfield, along with three of their sons, Edward, William, and Thomas. Robert Lincoln went on to lead a distinguished career of his own. In addition to his legal career, he served as Secretary of War under President James Garfield and continued in that post under President Chester A. Arthur after Garfield's assassination. He also served as Minister to Great Britain in the Benjamin Harrison administration, and he died in 1926 at age 82. Rockets Blast Off at Unity's 2025 Graduation by Diane Ducey, staff writer. Catherine Ford sings the national anthem at the class of 2025 graduation. She credits the Unity Rocket community, especially through the fine arts programs. Unity Rocket's parent, Clint McGraw, reflects on his son Avery's journey through high school. Mrs. Graves takes support and patience to the next level when it comes to helping students in need. Either it be curriculum assistance or just someone to talk to about life, she excels in that role. High school graduation is definitely a big step for all students. It also initiates the start of more freedom and life lessons. It can be scary as a parent letting your child venture off into the real world to learn these lessons on their own. With the support of the Unity community, teachers, parents, and neighbors, it sure makes it easier. We all look out for each other. Avery worked for ATS Custom Construction during the work-study program and will continue to work for them full-time while excelling in carpentry, electrical, and equipment operations. Kyler has been on the Sydney Volunteer Fire Team for years and will continue his career as a fire. Memorial Day Services and Ceremonies for 2025 by Ann Roten, SCCP FTP news correspondent. America pays tribute to its fallen military heroes on Memorial Day Monday, May 26th. The following are some local Memorial Day observances being held in honor of our fallen military heroes. Your correspondent hopes readers will be able to attend one of these ceremonies or take part in the 3 p.m. local time National Moment of Remembrance established by Congress, during which folks are asked to take the time for a one-minute moment of silence to remember the servicemen and women who have paid the ultimate price for our country. Surrounding areas, Memorial Day, May 26, 2025. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 will have their Memorial Day ceremony at the Mount Hope Cemetery in Sydney beginning 10 a.m. Pastor Jeff Stahl of the Countryside and Ogden United Methodist Churches is the guest speaker. A cannon and a 21-gun salute will be fired by the Sydney American Legion Post 433 Honor Guard, followed by the playing of taps. The Philo American Legion Post 1171 will host Memorial Day services at 9:30 a.m. at the Philo Veterans Monument in downtown Philo, followed by a 10 a.m. ceremony at the Immaculate Conception Cemetery located by the Immaculate Conception Church in Bongard, a 10:30 a.m. ceremony at the Calvary Cemetery located 1 mile east of Philo, and an 11 a.m. ceremony at the Locust Grove Cemetery in Philo. Veterans' graves will be marked with an American flag. Names will be read and a 21-gun salute will be fired, followed by live taps being played at each cemetery and at the Philo Veterans Monument in downtown Philo. The Rantoul American Legion Post 287 and the Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 6750 will have an 11 a.m. Memorial Day ceremony at the Maplewood Cemetery on Route 45 north of Rantoul. The Homer American Legion Post 290 will host an 11 a.m. Memorial Day ceremony at the GAR Cemetery in Homer. That's the Grand Army of the Republic. A free will offering, donations of choice, smorgasbord will follow the ceremony at the Jack Ellis Community Center. The smorgasbord is sponsored by the American Legion Post 290 Auxiliary Unit 290. The Champaign-Urbana Memorial Day, May 26, 2025. Memorial Day observances begin with a 9 a.m. ceremony at Woodlawn Cemetery, put on by the Champaign Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 5520. Either VFW Post 5520 Commander Brent Cork or past VFW Post 5520 Commander Adam Yao will be the guest speaker. Clergy will be present for prayer, and a 21-gun salute will be fired followed by the playing of live taps. Memorial Day will be observed by Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 630 with an American flag raising at 11:45 a.m., followed by the playing of taps and a 3 p.m. moment of silence. Both events will take place in front of the post home located at 1303 East Main Street in Urbana. American Legion Post 559 will host an 11:45 a.m. Memorial Day service at the Lincoln Memorial Gardens Cemetery, located at 1803 North Kohler Avenue in Urbana. The main entrance to the cemetery is off of Lincoln Avenue. The Champaign American Legion Post 24 will hold its annual Memorial Day program at 2 p.m. at the Mount Hope Mausoleum in the Mount Hope Cemetery. There will be a keynote speaker. The presentation of memorial wreaths will take place, and the Champaign American Legion Post 24 Honor Guard will provide a 21-gun salute and the playing of taps. Veterans groups who would like to make a presentation of a memorial wreath are welcome to attend. Post 24 decorates the veterans' graves at Mount Hope, Roselawn, and Bethlehem Lutheran cemeteries. Savoy Memorial Day, May 26, 2025. American Legion Post 1492 will have an 11 a.m. Memorial Day wreath laying ceremony at the Savoy Veterans Memorial, located in front of the Robert C. McCleary Municipal Center at 611 North Dunlap. Diane Ducey will be the MC, and there will be several guest speakers, including Savoy Village President John Brown, Post 1492 Chaplain Bud Vandeveer, and keynote speaker retired Army Colonel and Assistant Professor of Military Science at the University of Illinois ROTC, Eric Ashworth. Scout Troops 13, 1, and 55 will post colors and perform taps at the ceremony. Don't forget to fly your American flag at half staff from sunrise to noon. Those with a flagpole attached to their home can hang a black ribbon on the flag from sunrise to noon to symbolize the flag being flown at half staff. And now page 2, The Sydney Scoop by Anne Roten. Look for your correspondence Memorial Day services and ceremonies for 2025 SCCTP feature article published in this week's edition of the Southern Champaign County Today paper. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 regular monthly meeting should have taken place on May 19th. Look for a report from your correspondent in next week's edition of the Southern Champaign Today paper. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 distributed poppies on Friday, May 16th and Saturday, May 17th. Look for a photo your correspondent snapped of them in action in this week's edition of the Southern Champaign County Today paper. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank, Foodmobile, travels to Sydney every month to serve those in need of food assistance and are at the Sydney Community Building parking lot located at 211 East Main Street in Sydney, the first Tuesday of every month from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The next Tuesday that they will be in town is Tuesday, June the 3rd, and folks can visit the food bank website at www.eifoodbank.org for more information. Mark your calendars for this year's Sydney Fun Days taking place on Friday, July 25th and Saturday, July 26th. Happy Memorial Day weekend. If you or your organization have news items you want published, drop a line to Ann Roten at P.O. Box 491, Sydney, Illinois 61877, or call 217-688-2812 between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Don't hesitate to leave a message if there's no answer. News items must be turned in by 10 a.m. each Friday to be published in the following week's paper. Items submitted after the deadline will be published in the following week's column. Catholic Charities Senior Luncheon. The monthly luncheon was held on May 14th in the St. Patrick Parish Center at 304 East Vine in Tolono. The entree was fried chicken, and many side dishes were provided by the 35 guests in attendance. Guests were asked to participate in the survey of how many young people they had influenced through their parenting. The 35 guests had parented 92 children, influenced 155 grandchildren, and loved and an additional 69 great-grandchildren, including great-great-grandchildren. Jan Blaney shared stories of her adventures, good and bad, in parenting her children and foster children. Lively discussion followed. 5 birthdays were acknowledged and 20 door prizes distributed. The entertainment was White Elephant Bingo with Larry Kearns as caller. The next luncheon will be held June 11th at the Parish Center with turkey as the entree. The program will feature speakers presenting in-home services. Most seniors prefer to remain independent as long as possible, but that means knowing how to access support services when needed. Everyone age 55 and older is welcome to attend. Coffee hour begins at 10:30. Bring a side dish to share for the potluck beginning at 11:30. Piecemeal weekly menu. Sydney, Homer, Philo, Tolono, Sidoras, and Pisodum piecemeal menu for Thursday, May 22nd through Wednesday, May 28th. Thursday, well, that was yesterday. Friday, 5:23:25, hamburger served on a bun, baked beans, German potato salad, mixed fruit, and a half pint of milk. Monday, May 26th, 25, closed for Memorial Day. Tuesday, May 27th, spaghetti with meatballs, green beans, carrots, peaches, whole grain bread, served with butter or margarine, and a half pint of milk. Wednesday, May 28th, chicken salad served with a bun, kidney bean salad, pickled beets, fruit cup, and a half pint of milk. OSF Piecemeal provides seniors age 60 and older with a nutritious lunch Monday through Friday. There is a suggested donation of $4 for each meal. However, no senior will be denied a meal because of an inability to financially contribute. The Illinois Link Card is an acceptable form of payment. For more information, please go to https://www.osfhealthcare.org or call 1-833-923-3905. The Homer Piecemeal Congregate site is at the Homer Village Hall, located at 500 East 2nd Street. It is currently carry out only. For reservations, please call 1-833-923-3905 by 12 p.m. the day before you want a meal. Home delivery in Southern Champaign County is currently available in Sydney, Homer, Philo, Tolono, Sidoras, and Pisodum. Menu substitutions may occur due to global supply chain shortages, but a nutritious meal is still guaranteed. The OSF Piecemeal menu is submitted for the OSF Piecemeal Senior Nutrition Program by Ann Roten. Philo Library Weekly Newsletter. It's mid-May and school is almost out. Have you thought about what to do with the kids this summer? Philo Library can help you keep the kids busy during the month of July, June, and beyond. We have something for almost everyone beginning on June 4th. The Champaign County Forest Preserve is coming to Philo Library with one program on the 4th of June. Micro Marvels. What goes on around us in the micro world? The people from the Forest Preserve have answers and will let you share their discovery. June 9th, Read with the Dogs. From 12:30 to 1:15 p.m., anyone who can read is invited to sit with our visiting canines, Sterling and Silver, and read them a story. Younger siblings are invited to sit, listen to the stories, and pet the dogs. June 11th, the Forest Preserve returns with Scaly Encounters, again an interactive hands-on presentation that will have everyone learning about reptiles and amphibians you may or may not have seen before. On June 16th, we have a puppet workshop, ages kindergarten through third grade. Will be at 10:30 a.m. and older kids will have their workshop from 1 to 2 p.m. Then, June 23rd, we switch things up. Ages 4th grade and up are invited to paint with Miss Linda from 1 to 2 p.m. They will learn techniques of painting. how to make a stamp to use when decorating with paint, and they will take home either a heart box or a bird box that they have painted. At 6 p.m. on the 23rd, younger kids ages 3 to 10 can bring their stuffed animals to a sleepover at the library. Come at 6, have a light snack, a story, and then tuck your stuffy in to spend the night. Who knows what the stuffies can get into without anyone around to keep them out of trouble. At 10 a.m. on Tuesday the 24th, it's time for the kids to return to the library, have a bit of breakfast, and pick up their stuffed animals. They may even get some pictures of what the stuffed animals did all night by themselves. And Liz is working on more activities and a reading program for July. When the plans are in place, we'll announce the activities in this column, and it will be posted in the library as well. That's it for this week. Next week, we'll get back to new books and other acquisitions. Thanks for reading. This week at Tolono Library, Kids Story Time will be 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday, May 22nd. Play and learn will follow from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. the same day. Bring your little ones out and enjoy back-to-back programming. Mom's Night Out is happening on Saturday, May the 24th, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Come join other women for a day of fun painting your own planter pots. Registration is required, and there are still spaces available. The library will be closed on Monday, May the 26th. Starting July 1st, the library will have new hours. They will be Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and closed on Sunday. Our summer reading kickoff party is on May 31st from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. As always, please check out our Facebook page and website for all the information on upcoming events. The Giving Place weekly newsletter and upcoming events. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. Emily Dickinson. Thanks to all the letter carriers who picked up the food and to those who donated food through the National Association of Letter Carriers Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive. Volunteers have been quite busy the last 3 days checking dates and sorting food. The Giving Place started as a way for our church and other community churches to minister to the Unit 7 School District and help those in need. This ministry will continue for as long as we are able. If you know of any families in Unit 7 that are in need, please encourage them to visit TGP on Wednesday from 4 to 6. On Wednesday, the Giving Place served 4 families, 2 new, 15 people and children. Food totaled $250, 5 boxes at $50 per box. Thanks to Judy, Pastor Deb, Sharon, Joellen, Cindy, Karen, Susan, Derek, Kent, Pastor Gail, Dale, and Mike for picking up and sorting food and for serving our clients Wednesday night. Please stop by our burger or hot dog in a bag fundraiser. May 16th and 17th, 2025, during Tolono Citywide Garage Sales. Free will donation. We are always looking for people willing to volunteer for Wednesday night food and clothing distribution. Contact Roberta Beichner if you would like to volunteer. Feel free to visit some Wednesday and see all the blessings that are happening and maybe become a part of it. This has been Lincoln reading Southern Champaign County Today for Wednesday, May 21st, 2025. Have a great day, and I'll read to you again soon.